Good morning and God's peace. Nice to see everyone this morning. And my wife told me to smile. Even before I get into the gospel text for the day, many of you know me and are friends, and your welcome this morning was very touching, the words of encouragement. And those of you that know me best would look at me and say, "Are you nervous?" And it's like, yes, I am. This is a different place. For those of you that don't know me, I am from Alston, the Alston congregation. And that is where your dear pastor Jesse began his ministry. We were blessed to have him in Alston and Bruce Crossing for 7-8 years, something along that line. And the Lord worked wonders in our midst, through him and through us all. So I guess I just kind of say that, not that putting out a disclaimer that whose boy am I, but for those of you that don't know my name, that Jesse and I have been dear friends, encouragers of each other, and you as a congregation are on my heart often. As is Pastor Jesse, it was a big step from serving part-time in Alston and Bruce Crossing, and yet wanting, I mean, he had expressed many times his desire to serve the Lord full-time, and then things came about, and you as a congregation called him, and I keep him in my prayers often, as I do you as a congregation. But what is wonderful and is to hear him share, even after this number of times, how encouraged he is by you as a congregation, you as individuals, as he serves the Lord. And it's just heartwarming for me, because my friend, he left us. And, you know, it took me a little time to get over it. It was hard for us in Alston. It was a change. But how God provided through that, and to see him providing here, that he still has that love and desire to share the gospel message, and to see you as a congregation rally around him, building friendships, encouraging him. It's a lovely thing to watch from the outside. And I'm privileged, and I'm honored to be here today. And yes, I am nervous. It's a different place. The Lord has used me in many small congregations, my home congregation, and Bruce Crossing, and occasionally in Toivola. But yet, this is different. To be honest, this is many Sundays worth of people in the small congregations. And that's just how it is. But with that, let's move on. Would you please rise for the reading of today's gospel, John chapter 3. Reading in the name of our Lord as follows. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can one enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Amen. Please be seated. Let us join together in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day that you have given us. But even more so, Father, we thank you that you have brought each of us here today to gather around your word. We ask that by your Spirit it would truly be open to each of us. As we gather, we have many concerns of our earthly walk, things that we need to deal with. But we ask, Lord, that you would calm us in this moment. Allow your word to be proclaimed in its truth, for your word is truth. This we ask in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's a beautiful portion of Scripture, isn't it? That's a wonderful phrase to start any sermon with, because isn't it all wonderful? This one's really special, and I'm just going to mention it right at the top because I guess I was kind of spying on you. I went to the Zion website. Do you realize the closing verses on this are on your cover page? For God so loved the world. How powerful. And it was kind of neat to see that. I guess if we were going to put a title on a sermon, some do, some don't, I usually don't, what could we call this? Perhaps Jesus talking to a religious man. Because that's who this man was, this Nicodemus. He was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee. Now, remembering what a Pharisee was, these were the people that they did all the religious things. They not only followed the Mosaic law, but they had come into the point of following even the traditions of men. Things that you and I cannot imagine. You can walk so far on a Sunday. You had to wash your pots a certain way. Had to wash your hands a certain way. All of these things had been added. That Judaism at this point had kind of become, you know, they kept adding these man-made thoughts. And he was a teacher. He was in the synagogue. A member of the Sanhedrin. The ruling religious people. This man was somebody. People knew who he was. He was a man of power, a man of prestige, a man of influence. And he comes to Jesus to have this conversation. It tells us that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Now, we could say a lot of things about that. This man was busy. He had earthly concerns. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. They had meetings. Things had to happen. Perhaps night was the only time he had. Could be. Scripture doesn't tell us. Perhaps he was a little bit ashamed. I mean, he was of the ruling religious class. And a lot of them really didn't think much about this Jesus, this new message that was coming. Perhaps he was ashamed. We don't know. But I think we could stop right there and we could take one thing from this. For yours and my walk, is there ever a wrong time to seek the Lord? We could leave it at that. That we would seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he basically tells the Lord, I'm paraphrasing here, that you must be from God because we see these miracles. We see these wonderful works that you are doing. That you must be from God. And Jesus answered him here in this way. Verily, verily. That is to say, truly, truly. I guess if we were going to make it some, if we were talking to somebody, listen up. This is important. Listen up. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. Born from above. In another rendering of it. Born from above. The work of God opening our eyes to understand our need for a Savior. And the grace that God has shown unto mankind and offers freely through Christ and Him alone.
So then Nicodemus again says, well, you know, how can this be? You know, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus was still thinking in this earthly thing. How can this be? You're saying being born again. He's telling Jesus, I am alive. How can this be? And Jesus goes on to tell him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. I think often it's easy to walk, at least in my own case, and we kind of forget really what we are, that we are two beings. We are this flesh. But yet, God has given us this spirit, the part that will live on forever. But who are we seeking and who are we looking for? And Jesus goes on to tell him that, he says, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You must be born from above. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell where it cometh and whither it goeth. And so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Jesus is telling him here that you can't see the wind. You don't know where it comes from, where it goes. And I suppose in this time and place, perhaps it was a little more eye-opening for him because they did not understand weather as we do, high pressure, low pressure. We have a little more knowledge, I guess, in this time and place. But yet, that's how the Spirit of God works. I have trouble in this area, I must confess before you. I think the Lord works in a certain way, according to my thought. I think we need to be very careful. Yes, we follow God's word, but yet let's not put a limit on how God is working in and around people in our lives. Each of our journeys is different. Our paths are different. And you know what the amazing thing is? God, our Heavenly Father, knows us in such a personal way that He knows how, in essence, to bring us to Himself. My own earthly walk, my own walk through faith, I was one of those that was blessed by parents that brought me to church. I did a lot of church. To be honest, as a kid, I sat through a lot of Finnish services when I didn't understand a word of Finn. That's how important it was to my parents. And for a good portion of my life, I had a lot of knowledge up here about what this book was. Which is good, don't get me wrong. Parents teach your children. But really, when does it matter? It matters when it becomes a matter of the heart. When God, through His Spirit, draws us to Himself to understand our need of a Savior. Verse 9 here is just, I love this. As I studied this, this verse just stood more out than ever. Verse 9, this is Nicodemus answering. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He didn't understand. You know, I think often we're afraid to admit that to one another as believers. We think, well, because we attend church together, because we fellowship. Sometimes we're ashamed to say, how can these things be? That was a bold question on his part, wasn't it? He was asking the Lord and Savior Himself, how can this be? That one must be born again, born anew. Born through the Spirit. And Jesus comes right back at him and he says, you know, aren't you, paraphrasing, you know, aren't you a leader in Israel? You know, and you don't know these things? Jesus goes on to tell him that, you know, if I tell you earthly things and you don't believe them, why would I tell you heavenly things? I don't understand the dynamics of, to be honest, of how our free will and God's sovereignty comes into our salvation. It's a mystery to me. It would take somebody much smarter, much more learned. But I do know from my own walk, and I'm sure many of you would attest that this is true, that in my flesh I would have not chosen Jesus Christ. But God, through the circumstances of life, where He's placed us, the people around, has in essence pulled me to Himself to open my eyes, to help my heart understand the grace He offers through Jesus. In verse 14, Jesus makes a mention of Old Testament. He's referring as, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And often it's a portion of this where we kind of rush through it and we really don't look into what this means because we know what verses 15, 16, and 17 are coming. You know, they're our favorites. We see them on our knickknacks, you know, great Bible verses. But we rush through this. But in 14 here, in verse 14, when we think back in Deuteronomy 21, the exodus of the Israelites, when Moses was leading them out, they had witnessed many great miracles. I mean, starting right at the parting of the Red Sea. You remember, they went across on dry land. The waters came down in the chariots of Pharaoh. And they had been journeying for some time. And the Lord had been providing even physically manna from heaven. And they were instructed that they would take only enough for the day, that God would provide what they needed for tomorrow. Except on the day before the Sabbath, they were to collect 2 days' worth, so they didn't have to work on the Sabbath. And in Numbers 21, 5 and 9 here, the people were getting impatient. They're being people. And here it says, and the people spake against God and against Moses, saying, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? You've taken us from this land of plenty in Egypt, where we were healthy, where we were content, where we felt good, and you've taken us into this wilderness to die. There's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. We don't like this light bread, this manna from heaven. That struck me. You ever find yourself that way? Where you see God's provision in your life, but yet, you know, it could be a little better. And when we do that, what are we really doing? We're looking at our here and now, our circumstances. And yes, these things are important. Don't get me wrong. But yet, as we think back to the verse here, or in Deuteronomy, rather, that this angered the Lord. I'll paraphrase the rest of this. This angered the Lord. So God sent fiery serpents amongst the people to bite them for their disobedience, for murmuring against God. He was providing, but it wasn't good enough. And eventually the people came to Moses and said, you know, we need intercession here. We need you to go to God. We cannot live like this. We are dying. And the Lord told Moses to make a fiery serpent out of brass and put it on a rod and lift it up. And whoever was bitten by these venomous snakes, when they looked upon this rod, they would live. Sounds rather ridiculous, doesn't it? But it was the word of God accepted through faith. It's interesting, when you look at this part, nowhere does it say that the snakes disappeared, that God took the snakes away. No. He instructed Moses to build this and hold it up. And when you look upon that, they would live. And that's what Jesus was referring to there. And often I think as we journey, we forget. It's easy to be distracted in life. and we forget where we need to keep our eyes. We need to keep our eyes upon the one that was lifted up, being Christ. The propitiation for our sins. I think we forget how powerful the blood of Christ is. And even as I was told to smile more, I think we need to smile more. Brothers and sisters, do you realize who we are as believers, accepting through faith who we are in Jesus Christ? Wow. We're getting to the closing verses. The ones that are very familiar to us. We see them on bumper stickers. We'll see them at sporting events, t-shirts, which is wonderful. You know, a lot of verses, you can kind of take them a lot of times and pull them out of context. But this is one where it's just so perfect because it speaks alone. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's not about how good we look, how many religious acts we do, how involved we are in all these good things, how kind we are to the people around us. And yes, these are good things, don't get me wrong. Fruits of the Spirit, I think as believers we need to remember to stand and look at our own fruits. Observe ourselves. Being as believers in Christ, these should be the fruits. We should reach out in love, in kindness, wanting to serve, meet the needs of others. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love it how it's worded in him, that we should believe in him. It's not enough to know about Jesus. Having an intellectual head knowledge is not enough. We must be born again. Our heart must understand who Christ is. The grace that God has offered, that he continues to offer. So what do we do with this? We do church on Sunday morning. We come to worship, have a lovely service like we've had today. And that's it. The world around us is hurting. We need to take this message to them that God loves them. And we need to be bold because you know what? God loves them where they're at. He doesn't expect us to clean up our act, go through this checklist before we come to him. It's a matter of faith, trusting in the one that was raised up, the Lord Jesus Christ. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that beautiful? But isn't it easy often to condemn instead of preach this real message here? Oh yes, there is a need to recognize that we are sinners. Absolutely. And I think sometimes we can forget that. Because if you don't need a Savior, what good is a Savior? If you don't realize that your sin debt is going to condemn you to hell, why do we need a Savior? And that removes the preciousness of who Christ is. We enter into the Easter season. You know, what are we? Second Sunday in Lent, I believe. And it's a time of reflection and a great inward looking, that we understand the debt that Christ has paid for us as individuals. But yet too, I think we need to remember and we need to look ahead with this joy, even as I was reminded to smile. The joy that is ours because of what Christ accomplished. May God give each of us the strength, the ability, the opportunity to be light in this world. This world is broken. People are hurting. People are looking for the answers. The answer is very simple. The answer is Jesus. And perhaps we could just say, Jesus loves you. Because that's what he did on the cross. He made known his love to mankind. Living a perfect life as true man, but yet true God. Hung between earth and heaven. And for that period of time where God the Father could not look upon him because of his sin. That separation. That is a separation that you and I as believers will never have to face. Our destiny is sure. And it's not because of what we do, what we accomplish. It's because of what Christ has accomplished. And it's a free gift. Encourage those around you to seek him. Yes, there's some human involvement here. Scripture's clear. Seek and knock. Seek and knock. And his promise is it will be opened. Isn't that beautiful? Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this time around your word. We ask, even as we depart, Father, that you would be with us, that you would truly enable us by your Spirit to be a light wherever you have placed us, within our homes, our families, our workplace, our communities, and even within our churches. Father, we just ask that by your Spirit, we would come alive to serve you. Not with the sense of, Father, as if we have to earn something, but with the understanding that what we do for you is just a small token of thanks and gratitude for your great love, because you have provided a way. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We ask that you would guide us in your truth, correct us as necessary. And we ask that you would do this to bring honor and glory to your holy name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.